The Linux Link Tech Show is proudly sponsored by Open Country, providers of OCM, award-winning systems management software for the Linux enterprise, and exclusive sponsors of the Webmin Project.
Does your computer crash? Are you aggravated with computer viruses and spyware? Are you looking for an alternative to Microsoft Vista? Whether you're an expert or have only just heard of Linux, here's your chance to learn more at the Southern California Linux Expo. You'll meet users of all skill levels and organizations who will show you what open source software can do for you at home or at work. The Expo has speakers who will discuss various hot topics in open source software, and this year we've even added beginner sessions to especially help those of you who are just starting out. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 10th and 11th, 2007, at the Westin Hotel at Los Angeles International Airport. For more information or to register, please visit www.socallinuxexpo.com. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off your registration. We'll see you there.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show! Tech Show! Tech Show! Yeah!
The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology,
and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Yay.
All right.
Everybody's dropping like flies here this week.
Yeah, I'm over here at Alan's house, and Alan's heater died literally 5 minutes before I walked through the door. So he's the repairman showed up, so he's down there with the repairman. He'll be back in a little bit. So right now it's just me and Dan. A Link was just on, and he got called from work, so who knows whether or not he's going to be back. So right now it's just me and Dan, and Dan is not 100% because you got the HIV, right, Dan?
Yeah, I'm feeling really sick. Actually, you know what? Do you know how to work Alan's mixer there? Because you might want to bump yourself up just a little bit. Because now
sure, hold on a
sec. Soft.
How about now? A little better?
Yeah. Hopefully that should be fine.
Okay.
Your sound quality seems to change as the show goes on. Yeah. This is the last time we'll be playing the Scale promo.
Scale this weekend, right?
Yeah, Scale's this weekend. It's good, you know. And speaking of that, what is that conference that's coming up? That's
there's
in
one in
Chicago.
Yeah.
What is that?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
Anyway, I've been talking with the guys. Let me see if I can find them. They're
Serrano. Right?
Huh? What?
That's the guy's name, Serrano.
Is this
Chicago?
Yeah, I think. Let me see if I can pull it up because I'm an idiot.
Let me see if I can pull it up too.
Flourish Conference. I'm sorry. There we go. Flourish Conference in Chicago. Anyway, that's coming up.
Roberto Serrano. That's the guy who we were talking to.
Yeah. That's coming up really soon. Do you have the information in front of you?
I'm looking at it. I'm pulling it up. Hold on.
Talk about being prepared. Yeah.
Well, you didn't tell me that.
No, it's my fault. I'm sorry. I should have said something. Anyway, anybody out there, I should just bring up the open letter. Anybody out there who has John Mad Dog Hall's email address, they're trying to get in touch with him. Do they have a website?
Flourish?
If you go to flourish.conf.com, hopefully there's some contact information on there. They're trying to get in touch with John Mad Dog Hall and have not been able to get a hold of him. They had asked us whether we have his email address, and unfortunately we don't.
He's tough because John Mad Dog Hall is like all over the place. This one week he's in Brazil, the next week he's in, you know, Chicago, the next week he's in L.A.
Yeah, but you think, you know, the guy's so darn popular, it wouldn't be that hard to find his email address or a way to get in touch with him.
He's got a consulting company.
Yeah, but I was...
Whether or not he answers in a reasonable amount of time, you know? This is coming up pretty quick, right?
Good question. I don't know. What is it? I got to see if I can open it up. Okay, here we go. If I'd stop with my beeping. Open letter, Flourish. It is coming up. But, idiot had the website open. Flourish 2007. April 6th through the 7th. So that's still a nice way off.
They got time still.
John Mad Dog Hall. His company is the company that he used to work or he works for.
He still has it.
And they
I'll pull up his Wikipedia page. I'll tell you. Linux International.
Yeah, you go to Linux International, li.org. There's really not much on that page. Li.org allows you to, I guess, log in. But I don't know how you'd actually sign up and who's online, but there's really nothing else on that page.
It's pretty Spartan.
No contact information. And
he could try from Linux Journal because he's writing for Linux Journal.
Yeah, that's what I recommended. And I asked people in the forum last week, I believe, if his email address was listed in there because I couldn't find a copy of Linux Journal offhand to double check. And I can't get into their website either because I don't know what my subscription number is. I think my subscription
I could probably get in there. Give me a second. While we're talking, we can.
If by chance he actually is maybe listening to this episode, they're trying to get a hold of you and see if you can maybe, you know, swing by on your many journeys. But that aside, I guess before I finally pass out tonight, I'll bring up a few topics. This past weekend, I started playing around on a game called Eternal Lands.
Oh, yes.
Which is a MMORPG, massively. What is it? Massive
multi-user role-playing
game.
I don't play these games.
Multiplayer online role-playing game. I don't know of too many other MMORPGs for Linux out there. Of course, the big one is World of Warcraft, and there isn't a officially released native client for it, so it leaves us out of in the dark on that. But I started just checking it out. We got some recommendations. I'm not going to do a full review. We're saving that for an episode of Logger. But suffice to say, it's a pretty interesting game. If you've ever played a MMORPG, I don't know how it stacks up with the other ones, but it was fun. They did a great job for something that is cross-platform and is free to play.
Those games, man, you just burn up so many hours playing.
Especially those kind of games.
Yeah, it's like you could be on it for 12 hours and don't even notice.
No, yeah, that's true. And it's not something that you're going to like beat in a weekend or anything because it takes a lot of time. And it's designed that way because you got so many different things that you need to do on it. And I've been running it on my System 76, playing it wirelessly, and it's been flawless. Haven't had any problems. The only problem I had with this thing was when they took the server down for maintenance the other day. And it was down for 5 minutes, came back up, and it was no problem. They announced it, server was going down. But it's pretty interesting, game. Definitely worth a look.
Yeah, I got into the Linux Journal website, and the article itself doesn't say anything. It just says he's executive director of Linux International. That's about it. So,
I see C4 is in the chat, too. I don't think he would have played that. But yeah, C4 brings up the fact that they do have a World of Warcraft client, and the rumor is, and I guess it's a confirmed rumor, that it does exist. Who is it? Blizzard did do a client, but they refused to release it. Apparently it works well in Sudega and Crossover Office, but I've never tried it. I don't know. I'm afraid to try something like that, because that would just suck the hell out of my time, even worse than everything else. I have a lot of friends at work that play World of Warcraft, and they can't stop raving about it.
Good stuff. Panda Gaming.
And a guy at work just recently built a myth box.
Oh, yeah? What kind of system did he use?
AMD 64. I think it was a 32... Was it 3200 or was it a 2400? I can't remember which one.
Combined box.
What's that?
A combined box where he has the front and the back end on one machine.
Yeah, I believe that's what he was doing at the time. He just got his Hoppage card in the mail. He spent like $550, I think he said.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, it's got me really itching to make one for myself.
Well, I'm going to build the front end, so we might have a build fest over at my place at some point in the near future, within the next couple months. So, Dan, get your ass back up here.
Yeah. Next week is Valentine's Day.
I don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
Okay. Why not?
I've convinced my wife not to celebrate it.
So you can get out of having to buy flowers?
Yeah, well, it's like, you know, December comes around, it's Christmas, and then her birthday's in January, then February. But, you know, Valentine's Day is just a made-up holiday from the car companies.
Who is that?
I have no idea. Somebody drop off?
Who the heck was on?
Well, I can talk about a bit. My man cave is pretty much done. The construction portion out of it, anyway. On my blog post, I talked about painting last weekend. Holy crap, did I paint. Dan, I have a newfound respect for you, man. That was brutal, man. Friday night, I pulled an all-nighter, man, just priming the whole freaking room. It's a really big room. It's almost like four rooms the size of it. It's basically the same size as, you know, like my first floor, pretty much, minus a storage room, which I got to do separately. And I pretty much worked like all night, man. I started up like around 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, and I went and I was painting until about 4 in the morning. It was brutal. And then Saturday, I did the ceiling, and then Sunday, I did the walls. And then then Monday, the guy came and started doing the floor, and he just finished today. It's pretty much done today. I just got to do a couple more coats in a couple of spots. I got to do the storage room. And then the room is done, so I'm going to take some pictures soon, and I'll put them up on my blog, and you guys can check it out. I'm going to try to get Alan and Link to help me move stuff around, because I got a ton of crap I got to move down there. I'm going to pick up one of those industrial racks they sell at, like, Home Depot, Lowe's, you know, to put my computers in. I'm sticking them in, like, the furnace room,
mm-hmm.
So that's where the connection's going to be from the cable. I'm going to put all my stuff in there. I'm just going to pop a hole through the wall and put my workstation in the basement, like right next to it, and run the KVM switch cables through there. I mean, I don't even need for my servers. I don't even need to have them hooked up to a monitor. I could just, you know, SSH remotely, and, you know, I don't need to have a monitor hooked up. It's just the workstation that I need hooked up, you know?
Right.
So, the server's running real well, man. It's running like, you know, real nice. Actually, Dave Yates, I listened to Dave Yates' last podcast, and he was talking about if you use dynamic IP address, you know, you use dynedns.org website, where you can, if you have a dynamic IP address and you want to have a static IP so that you can set up a, you know, website, which I do and I know Link does as well. And what you got to do is you got to have a client running on your machine. That'll communicate with the host, and it'll tell it, you know, if your IP address changes, you know, so that if someone hits a website, it'll know where to hit it, will resolve it correctly. So I forgot to do that on the new server, and I listened to Dave's podcast. So I got me back into that, so. Thanks to Dave for reminding me.
Yeah.
Who's this?
It's Link. I'm on my cell phone. I'm on the way to work, so I figured I'd check in for a minute at least.
You sound different, Link, on the cell phone.
What do I sound like? Robert Redford?
Nah, dude. It kind of doesn't sound like you. And Alan came back, too, so we're all back here. So, Dan, if you feel like passing out, you're more than welcome to.
I'm going to go hit the bathroom. Question for you. Is that Spain on your blog?
That? I have no idea. I think that's Ireland or England.
Oh, okay.
I had a guess.
Okay.
Or maybe even Scotland.
Just wondering what that was.
You never
Scotland
know.
Brave.
Scotland.
All right. I'll be back maybe in a little bit.
Maybe in a little bit, he says.
Yeah, he's going to go sit on the throne.
Well, my oil heating woes are done for at least this evening.
So what I hate you. What cost you?
I don't know. It's covered. I have a service contract, so.
Okay.
When things go wrong, I call them. Actually, they're pretty good. I call it like 7 o'clock, and an hour and a half later, he was here and for the 10 minutes worth of work. It's always cleaning. There's a little sensor in there on it. For some reason, my oil burner runs so rich, it's not even funny. It's like sitting all over the place. So the sensor gets dirty, it shuts off, and he comes over and hits it with brake cleaner.
Okay.
Cleans it off, and it's good to go.
Cool. At least you got it running, so you're not going to freeze your ass off tonight.
Hopefully not. It wouldn't be the first time, though, that it's worked when he left, and then 2 hours later it died again.
That sucks. When I had the guy working in my house in the basement, he was framing up near the furnace room, and there's a pipe that goes into the furnace. And he banged into it, and he knocked out the heat that night. So he wound up paying for that little mishap.
It was one of those things, though, that you don't ever know that you do. You know, you hit it by accident, you don't know. When I was working in houses and stuff, it was always like that. I mean, you try not to do anything wrong, but you know, shit happens. You're covered for that sort of stuff.
The only good thing about it was that it happened when it did, because say he did that in the middle of summertime, I would never know that was a problem until, you know, it got cold, you know?
Yeah, so I always know when mine's going, because mine does my water, too. That's how I noticed it. I was taking a shower.
You got a nice
like,
ice blast.
Yeah. I was like, it started off warm, and I'm like, oh, wait, this is not working right, and I keep hitting it over to hot. It's like, oh, shit, the fucking thing's not working again.
Oh.
But it's much better than finding this out at 4:30 in the morning, trust me.
Yes, when it's 5 degrees outside.
Oh, last year it did that to me at like 5:30 in the morning. It's a nice hot shower to start off with, and then it died. Like, here and there, it's like, ah, shit, wash really fast.
Nipples of steel.
Oh, God, it was. Oh, my God, I've got ovaries.
Jesus.
All right, guys, I'm out of here into the cold. I'll catch back up with you as soon as I can.
Okay.
Where's he freezing to?
He's going to work.
Oh, that's going to Bethlehem.
That sucks. And here I just finally got Gizmo up, too.
Too bad.
Oh, well.
I'll be back soon. Okay. I'm sure there's just some stupid little problem that I can fix in 20 seconds over there. Unfortunately, you have to be there.
The internets are down. The internets are down.
Mm-hmm. Catch you in a bit, guys.
Just tell them to turn everything off and then turn it all back on again.
Especially if it's Windows. Reboot.
Yeah. So what did I miss?
Not much. I was just telling Dan about the man cave. It's pretty much done.
Cool.
I just got a little more painting to do, and then you guys can come over and help me move everything.
So we get to break it in with cigars?
No smoking in the house.
Come on, it's only a little cigar.
Nah, man. My wife is pregnant, man. She'll friggin' smell that in a second.
Well, that's why we can't come over, because she'll smell it on us.
Huh?
She'll smell it on us when we come over.
Well, she doesn't mind if you're the one that smells, you know.
Yeah.
Smoking in the house, you know, she doesn't want to smell.
Yeah, actually, I don't smoke in the house either. That's why. Yeah. That's why whenever I go over to the cigar shop to...
Oh, do they have a walk-in humidor at that place?
The whole shop is a walk-in humidor.
So it's like really humid in there.
Yeah, it's 72, 72.
Is that the sweet spot?
That's the sweet spot, yeah. So the whole building.
Do you have a humidor?
I have a little. I don't keep enough cigars to really have a good one. So I've got this little like plastic thing on it. It works. It keeps them semi-fresh.
Yeah, cigars are good once in a while, man.
That's what I don't. They're only a once in a while thing for me.
Hey, Pat, question for you.
Go ahead, man.
How many coats of paint did you put on?
I did one coat of primer. I went through 5 gallons of primer almost. And then I did 2 coats on the ceiling and 2 coats on the walls. And then I have to touch up now because when I took the tape down, anytime you take the tape down, you always rip a little bit.
Yeah.
So I got to go and touch up a spot here and there. But other than that, it looks pretty good.
Isn't it? It's a lot like more backbreaking than it looks, isn't it?
Well, I don't mind doing walls, man. I go pretty quickly with walls. It's ceilings that I can't stand. Even though the ceilings in the basement are pretty low, like the highest ceiling is maybe, I don't know, 7.5 feet. And then there's a low spot where the ceiling's only like, I don't know, 6'5" or so. 6'3", 6'4", somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
I mean, I could reach that stuff, so it wasn't too bad, but it's just, I hate ceilings, man. I just can't stand doing the ceilings. And you did the whole house, right, Dan?
Most of the house, yeah.
You did almost every room,
you
right?
did the whole house and only used 5 gallons. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, the thing was, this is bare sheetrock. When you paint it on bare sheetrock, man, yeah, that stuff
sucks
it all.
Right up,
it's like
yeah.
a sponge.
I didn't paint the kitchen. That was about it.
Well, you got most of the cabinets in there.
They were already painted a couple of years ago.
And the kids didn't paint on those?
No, they didn't. Thank goodness. That was, yeah.
Yeah, painting's brutal, man. The first night was the absolute worst, man. I was up almost 24 hours. That was tough. I was like, seeing blurry, man. It was pretty bad.
Now, did you use a brush or a roller or?
I use mostly roller and then the brush for, like, the corners and the edges.
Yeah. The hardest part for me was the ceiling upstairs has that, grit in it. So it's got, like, that textured look.
What do you mean, like that fake stucco kind of look to it?
Yes. That really sucked. Trying to get that on there.
Every little nook and cranny without making blobs of paint.
Ugh. You get this. We just painted over most of it, but where there was some like pieces of it ripped off, we actually had to get that stuff that you pour into the paint and you mix it in there. It's like big label on it. It's considered a carcinogen and in California don't inhale any of the dust from it.
Well, I burnt it over $300 in paint alone.
Oh, it gets expensive.
Yeah.
This house is scheduled for it. Probably I'm going to do pieces of it this year.
Yeah, and then once these guys come over and help me move all the stuff from the room where I have my computer stuff now, it's in a spare bedroom that's going downstairs, all that stuff, I'm going to turn that room into my son's bedroom, so I got to redo that room. But that little room compared to the basement should be a piece of cake. I could do that in a day, no problem.
Now, what are you doing for network access to the rest of the house? You running cable or you going with wireless?
I'm going with wireless. I did run cable from where the router is going to be to where the TV is going to be. So when I do my Myth TV front end, I'll have a network connection right there.
And that's all going to be in the basement, right?
Yeah, it's all going to be in the basement. Now, I need to pick up, I've run out of ports on my switch, so I need to pick up something that's got a lot more plugs.
What, do you have a four-port switch?
Four-port switch, it's done.
Many.
I need at least 8 more. What do you recommend?
Well, I have that little Linksys over there with 8 ports on it. I just plugged it into the 4-port one and gave myself another 8. So.
Yeah, that's what I need to do, man.
Yeah, Linksys Netgear's not too bad.
Something cheap, you know?
You can go with a Cisco switch. So set you
what do they run?
A couple $100 to a couple $1,000, depending on...
I don't want
to
spend a couple thousand. No more. If I could spend $100, I'd be fine.
You know, switches, you can get them dirt cheap these days for like anywhere from $20 on up to... up.
Maybe I could pick something new on eBay.
You can hit the Ham Fest on the 24th. There's always people with computer shit there.
You know what I'm going to do for my Myth TV front end? I was looking at like the boxes and stuff. They're really expensive, some of these like really... you know, home theater type PC boxes. I have one from the one that's currently my workstation. So what I'm going to do is I'm probably going to hit a local PC, you know, supply store or maybe go to the computer show at the fairgrounds and just pick up a generic box and throw all the guts that are in my workstation now into that box, and I'll use the box that I have my workstation now for the TV front. Because that thing looks like a stereo component. It's black. It's got the...
Yeah, I remember when you brought that in.
It looks exactly like a stereo component. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to use that for the box.
And spray paint.
No, it doesn't need paint.
Beige box, spray paint. Come on, it'll look great.
No, it's nice and black, man. Nice and black. So that's what I'm going to use.
Black, and it goes to 11.
And I've been looking at the motherboards and stuff. You see, the motherboard I have a cheapy MSI motherboard that I literally paid $20 for. That's it, and it's from running with a Celeron 2.4. That's good for like standard definition. That thing worked great. The thing is, with high def, man, you need a little more horsepower. You need either like an AMD 64, or you need like a maybe a dual core, a low end one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm looking at. So I think it's going to run me to do a front end, right? I have a hard drive that I can use. I need a motherboard. I need some memory. And I need a CPU. And I figure that's going to run me probably, I don't know, $3 to do a decent one.
Now, yeah, if you do it right. Yeah,
yeah, I don't need a capture card because RCN supplies the Motorola 6200 with the FireWire ports. All I need is a FireWire card to do pull all my video and control the switches. So I need no IR blaster, no capture card. It's all over the FireWire port. So when I'm ready, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to host a MIT-TV build in the man cave pretty soon, within probably a couple months.
Okay.
I'll have everybody over, you know, I'll announce it on the log mailing list. And everybody else is welcome to come by, you know. Just bring some good beer. Don't bring piss water beer. Bring quality stuff, and I'll let you in through the door.
set up the smoking patio outside.
Yeah, we can go outside and smoke. That's fine. Hopefully it's a little warmer than it is now.
You're not going to bring heat out there for us? I wanted to go, if I had a bigger back porch, I was going to get one of those, like, those
round, like,
yeah, the, posts. Those posts with, yeah, the heaters on the top.
Get
of
those
it.
In the bars and restaurants.
Yeah. But I figured that would take up most of my back porch, so that's probably not a good idea right now.
Yeah, my TV's good. I'm psyched to do the high def thing. I've been checking out some of the high definition TVs, and they really come down in price. One thing I noticed is that my last TV that I bought that was decent, I have a Panasonic 36 inch in my living room. I bought that from Sears. Sears has a policy where they'll do a price match. So if, you know, you see something that's on sale and you go to the place and they don't have it in stock, say one of the other chains like Circuit City or whatever, Best Buy or whatever, and they don't have it in stock, man, go to Sears and show them the advertisement and they'll match it. I've done that before. So I went over and I looked at what they had. And they had a decent selection, actually. They had some Toshibas and some a couple other ones. They had some Sonys. The Sonys are nice, but they're very expensive. But some of the other brands are quite nice, too. Samsung's pretty nice. There's a bunch of other, like, no-name brands, too, that you see, like Olivia and a couple other ones. You know, I hear that they're decent, but I'm probably going to go with a decent brand.
Because I think a lot of them are all made by the same manufacturer.
Yeah, they're
anyways.
Made in the same factories. They're just no-name brands that you never heard of. But if you do a little research, you go, like, on the AV forums and stuff, you'll see some recommendations of some of these things. And some of them are actually decent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking probably, like, a 42-inch... LCD, you know, rear projection. Probably they're under 1,000 now. So
I'm holding off on all that stuff until I have to. I figure unless my TV blows up between now and when they finally turn off the analog stuff on, then I'm not gonna bother yet.
Yeah. So right now I have
I watch cartoons on it. I mean, you don't really need high def.
Right now I have Dish Network. So once I get the high def, I'm gonna go to the cable because I currently have the internet with the cable company and the phone through the company, cable company. And they have bundled packages where it's actually very cheap. So I'm probably just going to switch to the cable TV and maybe get the high def extra package.
Mine costs like I pay like $170 with all three of them together a month.
Yeah, right now I'm paying $60 with the phone and the internet, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah, well, it's when you add on the packages on the cable itself. Is when it starts to hit.
Alan, all those channels, I've had them before, like HBO and Showtime, there's crap on those channels. Those movies, it's the same 10 movies they play over and over again.
Oh, I know. I'm not disagreeing with you there. I just...
You know,
I picked it up a long time ago, and I just have never bothered, you know. I mean, I occasionally watch this stuff, so that's why, you know, I watch very little regular TV on it. I wish I could have something that could actually just pick
a few channels.
You know what I
watch? I'll tell you what I watch. I like some of those cable series, you know, from like Showtime, some of those, and some of the HBO ones.
Although I've been bad, I've missed Rome all this.
I haven't seen the second season.
I saw the very first one of the second season, but I haven't watched the rest of them. And it's just laziness on my part, because the one nice thing with cable is if you have the Showtime and HBO, is you can get the free, you can get it on demand on demand for those channels are free.
Well, all I have to say is last season, like, The Sopranos, I used to really like that show. The last season, I didn't pay for it, but I watched it anyway. I'm glad I didn't pay for it.
You went to your friend's house,
yeah,
I know.
Exactly. It sucked. It really sucked. That's all I have to say.
Well, I just hate them because they play them on, you know, Sunday nights, and unfortunately, I can't stay up on Sunday nights.
You fall asleep?
Well, no, I've got to get up so early, and, you know, I try to get to bed early so I'm not, like, dead on Monday morning, so.
Yeah,
so I end up watching them always on Monday
night. A lot of the
night.
Things with the high definition, they have, like, 720p, they have 1020 high, 1020p. You know,
1080p is supposed to be the holy grail.
Right. The whole thing with 1080p is they advertise these TVs that do 1080p. There's no programming that does 1080p right now.
Yeah, but
so,
still,
yeah, you're spending.
Have it just
you're
in
gonna
case.
Spend you know a few hundred extra dollars just to freaking get a TV that has a capability that's not being utilized yet.
Well, if it lasts for 5 years, they'll probably have stuff out by then.
I don't know. I'm just gonna go with 1080i 720p. That's fine.
Yeah, because you'll end up having to get your Vista running so you can get HDD content over there,
yeah,
you know.
Right. And yeah, the other thing I noticed is, have you seen these high-definition DVD players, man? Holy crap, they're expensive.
Yeah, but I remember when I first bought my first CD player and it was like over $600, so, you know, now you can buy them for, you know, $9.99 in the store.
Yeah, and this whole format war is going on. You got Blu-ray and HD DVD.
Give it time for all that stuff to level out. It's going to take another year or so before all that stuff levels out enough that it you know your prices are going to be in the $200 or $300 range.
Well, one of the questions between what's the difference between 1080i and 1080p? What I and P is one's I is interlaced, and P is what
progressive.
Progressive, and what that means progressive is you have the 1080, that's all in one scan. With the 1080, the 1080i has to do two scans. It's like a It's double the refresh rate, right?
Whenever you have interlaced,
it's
two scans.
Double. It's a double scan. Yeah. Where the P, it's one shot. You see it, so it's less scans going on.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Less refresh rate, but you get the whole thing is filled in one shot. You know, it's supposedly better.
Yeah, it supposedly looks nicer. Yeah. I can't tell the difference myself, but then I don't have, you know, the only thing I ever see is when I go to like Best Buy or Circuit City or something. So I never really, you know, sit down behind a TV long enough to actually watch anything.
I was
anything.
Watching some of the demos at Sears, and they had in one section they had a standard DVD player going, and they were showing some old movie from the 70s, a regular DVD, and it looked like ass on every single TV. So if the source looks like ass,
it's going to look like
crap. You need a decent source.
The thing I was laughing with, much as I'm not a Super Bowl watcher, I did, you know, flip in and out of that. I'm thinking about all those people who went out and bought brand new high def TVs to watch the Super Bowl this last weekend, and it rained through the whole damn thing, so all they could see is fucking really good rain, you know.
Excuse me.
I was laughing at that.
Excuse me.
You're excused.
No, if we want to have that iAudio U3 review, it has to be now.
Okay.
All right, so.
Who's coming on, Aaron?
Yeah, I'll give it to her and she can take it away. Here she comes. Hold on.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Hi. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Long time no hear.
I know. I didn't mean to interrupt what you were doing. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But my daughter's in between taking her bath and finishing a worksheet for school, so this is kind of my moment to shine.
Quiet time.
Yeah. So I guess I'm supposed to review the iAudio... No, the... the iAudio U3 player.
My first question is, why'd you get an iAudio U3?
I'll back up one second. My last MP3 player was a cheap little Sansa player. It was a 1 megabyte that I bought about 3 weeks ago for, $76.99 or something. I had had Sansas before, and I was real happy with them. I'm not a power user of an MP3 player. I throw my MP3 files that I get from my Russian businessman friends on there to take it to the gym. And the Sansas are cheap and they're light, and if you break it, you don't cry too hard. So
was OGG playback important for you?
No, OGG playback.
With OGG?
I'll wrap this up real quick. Anyway, my brand new cheap Sansa got stolen at the gym. So,
nice gym.
Oh, it actually is a nice gym. I just think the people that go there aren't very nice. It was kind of a disappointment. It got stolen out of the little water cup holder of my elliptical that I was using, and I shouldn't have left it there in the first place. But, anyway, the AUG playback was not desperately important to me. I know, Danny likes the AUG format a lot, and the sound quality is a lot better. That was kind of just a bonus for me. What I liked about it is the 2 gigabyte hard drive also has video playback, and it was $128. It was really cheap, and it got a lot of good word of mouth on many review sites across the internet. So I figured, what the heck? I bought it off of Newegg.com. And
great store,
great customer service. They said it would be here in 3 days. It was here in 3 days, no problem. Well packed, everything was great. My first little disappointment is that for $128, you get a player, but you don't get any kind of carrying case or carrying strap or lanyard or anything, and they're a little hard to find for that brand. So that was kind of a little bummer. Aside from that, the sound quality is just superlative. Couldn't be happier with that. I haven't tried doing anything in the AUG format yet. It's just not a format I use a lot. I guess the first thing I'll use AUG format for is probably dumping this episode of the Tech Show on there to listen to.
Get the AUG version because it's got all the extra content on it.
I don't want to miss all that exciting extra
I have one question.
Sure.
Is it mass storage? In other words, you just plug it in and it pops up? You get a little... Yeah, okay.
It's
USB mass storage.
It just thinks it's a flash player.
Yeah. You see, I have the iAudio 5, which is pretty old.
Uh-huh.
512 flash, and it's the same deal. You just plug it in and it pops up.
Yeah, and...
Drag and drop files.
And I don't want to screw around with it. I'm not interested in... it's one of the reasons I didn't get an iPod. I don't want to mess with iTunes or... I want to get my MP3 files, you know, with no DRM from my Russian friends, and just chuck them on there. And the video screen is about 1.5 inches wide by 3/4 inch tall, but the quality of that little tiny screen is actually phenomenal. I could actually see myself watching something on that screen. And it's a 2 gig unit, so I could put, you know, an hour-long show on there. I couldn't put anything else on there while it was there, but I could really actually see using the video screen, which surprised me. I didn't think something that small would actually have pretty good video quality. But I'm not a super picky person, you know? So what else can I say? The sound quality is really, really good. It's got the joystick interface, you know, you toggle it back and forth and up and down, and real easy to figure out. Ask me some questions.
does it have line in recording?
Yes, it does. As a matter
it should.
Of fact.
Well, you want a question? I found a question on the.
It does have line in recording. It has a FM radio tuner, which I don't use, but I guess a lot of people at gym do use those, and you can tune.
How about the? Does it have a voice recorder?
I don't know. I think
does,
so.
Does it have a little built-in mic, a little round hole that you can talk into? I have one, and I've used it extensively, my iAudio. It works great.
To record all your deep thoughts?
No. I usually, when, like, if we're at the show, you know, one of these trade shows or whatever, conventions, and I want to interview somebody, you know, quick, you know, something really quick. It's great. I just, you know, take it out and start talking into it, and it works fine.
See, for a second there, Patrick, I thought I was going to find out that you're that guy who every time he has a deep thought has to whip out that little recorder and commit it to posterity.
I don't have many thoughts at all.
Oh, that's not true.
With all the time you spend on 78, you don't have thoughts? Did you get stuck this morning?
You know, just as a side note, I spent the whole weekend painting. And one of the things that I was thinking of, I was listening to WZZO.
I hate painting.
Besides that, WZZO, I was listening to the classic rock station.
Oh, God.
And I was thinking to myself, who would I rather be, the Beatles or the Stones? And you know what my conclusion was? I'd rather be the Stones. Why? Not because the music's better.
Two of the Beatles are already dead.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because you wouldn't be dead.
You have a 50-50 chance of being dead right now.
The music isn't better, but the Stones have way better taste than women. That's all I have to say.
Okay, yeah, I agree there.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. You know, Ringo Starr's wife, pretty hot. Barbara Bach, not bad.
All their wives are hot. At one time or another.
At one time or another, you know, yeah. Hot does not last, though, unfortunately. Yeah.
I mean, Mick Jagger, you know, I'm not into the music of the Stones anymore. I think they're way over the hill. They should have retired like 25 years ago. That's my opinion. But Mick Jagger's still running around with Brazilian models and stuff, so I give him credit for that.
Well, that's true. He's kind of getting to the age where I think it's edging over into the from the cool to the a little creepy. Are we way past
like,
that point?
Like your grandfather dating your daughter, yeah.
When I was a kid, my brother took me to the Stones concert for Tattoo You, and that was a phenomenal concert tour. I was just a kid at that. And then, was it 86, 87, they played at Shea Stadium, and I saw that. That had to be the most disappointing concert I've ever seen. After that, they should have retired. That's just my opinion.
Well, a long time ago, Mick Jagger promised that he wouldn't be playing Stone songs when he was past 40, and, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think those really, really big checks changed his mind.
Yeah, I have an old issue with, like, these old rock dinosaurs. They got to know when to pack it in.
Oh, me too.
It's called retirement. It's retirement fund.
Although, did y'all see Prince play at the Super Bowl?
No.
I thought he was rather good.
Yeah, I thought I only saw clips. Yeah. We actually stayed home and watched Lost on DVD all night long. We didn't watch the ball. But what I saw, the man has not aged in 15 years, and I want to know how he did that. The man
has not aged?
Not a bit. He's 52.
It's that little babushka thing that he was wearing.
Oh, is that it?
I heard he had a hip replacement surgery.
He did. I know, but man, he doesn't look it, does he?
It works really well.
You know who looks like hell, man? Edward Van Halen. Have you seen him, man?
Years of heroin. Yeah.
But he's not dead.
He's not dead, no.
No, he's not dead. But David Lee Roth is not looking too good himself, let me tell you.
Isn't he like officially though like a paramedic in New York City?
Oh, something like that. He had that radio show.
Besides being a DJ or stuff.
Well, that crashed and burned. He was the replacement to Howard Stern in the New York market,
Stern, yeah.
And that was just a disaster of Hindenburgian proportions. He was trained to be a paramedic or something.
Yeah, I thought that actually came through, but I don't know if it ever actually did anything with that.
I don't know.
I read somewhere where.
All I know
is frightening. He could save your life. You know that
for the amount of money that they would make, you can't. I can't. Man, he and Eddie and what's his brother's name? Michael. Eddie's brother. Eddie Van Halen's brother. They must freaking hate each other. I mean, how much money would they make to get back together and go do one show? Just one show, and they still can't do
obviously
it.
Aren't they supposedly getting back together for a show?
Did that
fall through?
Yeah, that's going to happen right after that new Guns N' Roses album comes out. They're on the same timetable there.
I heard about the other rumors that Led Zeppelin's going to reunite the three surviving members.
I was going to say, again, we got a small death problem there, but really?
Yeah, John Bonham's son is going to play with them.
That's like the Who. I mean, what is there, like one person left in that one?
Yeah. No, Daltrey and Townsend are both still around.
Okay, they are, but I haven't paid attention to
this one. This is the final word on these old aging rockers, man. As long as they're coming out with new music that's good, they can go on tour. You know, when was the last time the Who actually produced new music? 1982?
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't good either.
It's the new music that's good is where you got to draw the line. I don't know. I can't tell you the last time I went to a show. I really, really can't.
I saw Iron Maiden back in November. November, October, somewhere in there.
Well, I haven't gone to
really?
Dylan.
Yeah.
Dylan was
like
awesome. The last one.
It was a great show. They played the arena again.
I saw Dylan at Stabler Arena, gosh, 93, 94. A couple tickets.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention back then, but
a couple tickets just fell in my lap, and my ex and I went. He wasn't my ex at the time, but and it was a really good show. Actually, Dylan was smiling and enjoying himself, which I understand is extremely rare.
His shows have always been. I always thought of them as being hilarious at times, because I have a friend who's really really big into him. I mean, he sits on the internet, and like for someone who doesn't release their albums, you know, for people to share and stuff, you can find anything you want from him.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, like the day after the show,
he's looking very Salvador Dali lately, Dylan.
Well, the hilarious thing is, and since he hasn't been playing guitar lately, on it, it's like he plays piano, which I don't know if he plays it or if he just bangs on it. I haven't quite figured that one out. But it seemed like every show I got to see, they kept lowering the piano on him. I swear to God. Because there was one show, it looked like he was like kneeling to the thing, and he would stand up and sing, and then he would kneel a little bit more and play the piano. It was hilarious. It is pretty good. Although I haven't seen him, I didn't see anything this year. Following CGT, about it.
We've wandered really far off the original topic, which was...
But that's okay, we're talking about
music related.
Players.
Yeah.
Have you bought anything off of Magnatune?
I don't know anything about Magnatune. What is it?
Magnatune? Magnatune.com? It's an online music store. It's all, you know, non-DRM music.
No, I will. I'm writing it down now. Magnatune?
Yep, Magnatune. Talk to Dan. He goes on there all the time. It's a great site.
He does.
You listen to the whole catalog for free. You could stream and listen to it.
Oh, yeah?
They don't charge you. Absolutely. It's great. It's all independent stuff, but some of it's really good stuff.
Really? Well, I'm always looking for
new. We had him on the show, about a year ago?
Yeah. We talked to him, John Buckman, a while back. But if you use Amarok, the newer versions of Amarok, I think 1.44 and forward, has a Magnatune built right into the player itself, where you can browse the catalog, listen to the music, purchase... All through Amarok.
Of course, I only have
very
one.
Very good. It's really 4. Nice.
4.3.
You know, Amarok is a program that even, like, non-Linux people have been asking me about lately.
Really?
I've gotten hooked to it, actually, since I moved over there. I was never really a user of it on it, and since I switched the desktop over to Ubuntu, I've been using it, and actually, it's very nice.
It's really nice.
Excuse me.
Irene, are you familiar with Amarok at all?
I know of it. I have not used it, I'll tell you the truth. I don't play a whole lot of music. I don't browse a whole lot of music. I use it almost exclusively for going to the gym, which is funny because my taste in music for going to the gym is a whole different split personality from what I actually like to listen the rest of the time. It's
the meddler at the gym.
a lot of White Zombie and Missy Elliott, which is a very strange combination, and Prodigy. Very loud stuff, and I'm not usually a loud stuff.
You're doing Cookie Monster rock?
What?
Cookie Monster rock. Yeah. That type of stuff.
Cookie Monster. I like that.
That's new metal. That's new metal. I'm not really into that.
That's what it sounds like. It's Cookie Monster rock.
I don't know. I'm a pretty big fan of White Zombie for the gym. A little White Zombie and really kind of, well, you know, it's all about getting your heart rate up and all that good stuff. I mean, in my real life,
That will do it, yeah.
In my real life, I'm definitely like all mopey emo music girl. You know, oh, boo-hoo, woe is me.
The emo chick. I can't picture you as the emo chick.
You know
chick.
What? And I'm really too old to be an emo chick.
I have to check out your MySpace.
Don't.
Emotions.
Yes.
Sad.
I'm so sad. No, I actually do have a MySpace site.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh I do.
Let's...
I registered the MySpace so I can read my sister's blog on MySpace.
That's why I did too. My little sister has a MySpace, and I got on so I can send
MySpace.
Her. I do too. It was coded by a tribe of crack addicted howler monkeys. nothing ever works right. And
you've seen the tech show MySpace webpage, right?
I have, but you know what? It just the colors and the pictures and everything makes.
All right, what's your MySpace account?
I'm not going to say it. I'm not.
You can get it from Dan's blog. Go to Dan's blog. He has a link in there.
Oh, he does. That's where all those weirdos keep coming from. But I'll tell you what. The number one key to Linux Link Tech Show MySpace site makes the baby Jesus cry. It's unbearable.
Yeah, we have nothing to do with that.
And
that's Ben. Ben did that page. Ben, you rock. That's
Ben,
great.
Well, you really captured the flavor of MySpace. It's
hot pink letters.
I was going to say it's kind of
purple writing.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a poopy flavor, but you really did capture it. What was I going to say? I don't remember.
MySpace. It's just that frightening.
MySpace is just. But you know what? I've got, and I'm too damn old for MySpace. I mean, who are we kidding? Come on. But I've got three or four friends at work who are all, they're not all my age, but they're a lot of my friends at work who are within 10 years of my age are like, hey, dude, I left you a message on MySpace last night. You know, so we're all huge freaking losers, I guess. I don't know.
I can't stand MySpace.
Oh, I can't either.
Your site is quite plain. It's readable.
Hard on the eyes.
I fooled around with the MySpace layouts, and most of them are so very bad. My HTML skills with a Z are not good. So
you know what the problem with MySpace is? At the very foundation, I heard it on BinRev.
Yeah, MySpace.
They're running IIS on there. You know that.
What are they running?
They're running the Microsoft's internet server, IIS.
No.
Horrible. Horrible.
Really?
I can't believe it scales that highly.
Oh, I can't either.
But weren't there like a bunch of viruses propagating in MySpace? I could have sworn I heard that a while back.
There was a lot of phishing going on. Password phishing, and you're dealing with a bunch of really...
retarded people.
Stupid people. Yes.
Which is what makes it so fun.
Yes, there was a lot of phishing for passwords going on, and your MySpace is gay. That made me laugh very hard. That's my best friend at work, Mike. So yeah. Anyway, but you know what? There's something freaking addictive about MySpace. I don't know what it is. I check it like four times a day. I'm such a loser. I admit it.
Oh, God, I don't even check my email that many times. I check my email like twice a day.
I registered so I can comment on my sister's blog postings. That's about it.
Well, I guess if I want to actually read your entries, though, I will have to get myself a name there, and I'm not going to bother with that.
Link's wife is actually one of my friends on MySpace.
The truth comes out.
Yes. Is Link around tonight?
Yeah, he got called for work.
Oh, well, he got called for work. My husband took himself over to Walgreens to get his medicine. He's not feeling well.
Hiv's going around.
Yeah, what's going on? What?
Don't.
You know what? That's not funny. That's not funny.
According
especially
to Pat, whenever
to
any one of us is sick.
Hiv. Oh, my gosh. What are you, 12? Yes. Okay.
Don't
yes.
show her second life. I don't know what the hell that one was from. From
oh no, there. I have heard of Second Life, and even I think Second Life is.
I was a member of Second Life for a month.
What's the point of it?
For the free, you know, while the free months.
You just walk around in a virtual reality place.
Yeah.
You basically walk around. It's like an instant messenger only in 3D.
And oh, I will admit I love The Sims. But even I think Second Life is really stupid. I almost said.
Well, there were some times it was like really interesting, you know, because unfortunately at the time the Linux client didn't work very well for me, so I was playing on the little Mac I have here, which wasn't quite fast enough for it. And if you get to a place where there's a lot of people, it just goes to hell on it. But it was neat flying around and shit. And I don't know, the first day there, I ended up with a helicopter, so. Got to fly around. I was like standing there, and like the person walks up to me and is like, do you want to learn how to build things? I'm like, okay, I'm doing nothing else better here. And then all of a sudden this person, I don't know who the heck it was, starts giving me all these like vehicles. And it was like a helicopter, a couple motorcycles, some cars. I was like, okay, I got to figure out how to use all these things now.
You know what's scary is people actually make money off the crap that they sell in that virtual environment.
Yeah, oh, they do.
Oh, yeah, there are some really interesting places in there. There's also tons of porn in there. But, you know, I don't know. I don't spend enough time instant messaging anybody in the first place. Honest, that's probably why I, you know, didn't bother with it.
Well, all I figure is I can barely handle my first life. I really don't have the time or the energy or the money to invest
in a second life.
You know, I'm my first life is kicking me in the ass.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I was thinking of putting together like, you know, a TLLTS spot for people, but it just never materialized.
Who cares, man?
Well, it was, just something, it was something interesting.
You go in there for 5 minutes to see what it is and you leave.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it could be very interesting, except, like I said, I'm not the person that sits on, you know, I am, you know, instant messaging people or even on the chat here. I'm only on Wednesday nights when we're here. So, you know, for me to sit in some place where you've got chat constantly with people around you, it just didn't.
Sometimes I jump in on that IRC from work through the browser.
See, one of my problems in Second Life and my real life is I don't like people that much. And
me
I really
either.
Don't want to talk to them, you know?
Well, yeah, because you go into a populated place and it would be just like real life. You know, you can't, you know, you can walk up and talk to people, but nobody's going to talk back to you, you know,
yeah.
in most cases.
That's because they're all having conversations with each other.
Well, yeah, you walk in
oh
the middle
God,
of
Oh, my God, it is high school all over again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's high school all over again, yeah.
You know, seriously, I expend my maximum daily social interaction allowance at work because I have to because they pay me to be pleasant. And I don't have much left. This is true. I don't have much left over. I'm not great with people. I mean, I am because I have to be, but that's it. I don't want to sit around and chat with people. I mean, except you guys, because you're awesome and you're fabulous and talented and handsome, and I love you. But,
well,
I mean,
thank you.
Just to go talk to people, I don't know. I'm weird. Maybe it's just me.
Well, like I said, you know, if you like talking to people, it's an interesting way of doing it. But if you're not an outgoing person and you know always, you know, 1,000 people in your IM client and stuff. But
well, tell me this, because what is this Eternal Land stuff that my husband is suddenly sucked into?
It's an online role playing game.
Is it? It's like
a adventure.
World of Warcrafty kind of.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, I've never heard of it.
Kind of. It's built for Linux.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time back there sitting at the dining room table on his laptop tapping away. I don't know. It's, I don't know.
Those games.
Trying to become an elf.
Those games suck in, man, and then the hours just burn. You just burn so many hours playing those things.
Do you know the link for it? I want to see what it actually looks like.
You could Google it, you'll find it, man. It's
what the hell is it called?
Eternal Lands?
Oh, I'm looking at the chat, and I have to say, NY Bill, I don't hate people. I get worn out. People wear me out. You know, I'm a loner, but I don't hate people. I hate some people, but...
People are annoying.
People are annoying, and I just get worn out. I only have a limit. I have a limit. It's why I don't do customer service, because...
Oh, my God.
That, you know, my limit is burnt out 10 minutes in. No, I don't do customer service. I fix parts and paperwork. I don't have to fix people, and that's just the way I like it.
Well, I figure after screaming at people on 78, driving back and forth to work, I usually don't talk to anybody for like, you know, an hour or so after I get to work.
Oh, I had
to calm myself down.
Speaking of that, I had a first-time experience in my life. I actually flipped someone off on the highway yesterday, which I've never, ever done before.
Congratulations.
I was on I was proud of myself. I'm letting some of my inner rage out. No, the highway.
Quite all right. Hulk rage. That's what we're here for.
The road that our apartment's right off of is a two-lane road that's got a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit and stoplights. It's delightful. And I'm in the left-hand lane going 55 miles an hour, no faster because people just suddenly stop at these stoplights. And this, can I say asshole? Or am I going to get in trouble?
No,
this asshole in an Infiniti SUV comes roaring up behind me, 70 miles an hour, flashing his lights and laying on his horn because I'm going the speed limit, and I got nowhere to merge because it's a two-lane highway. I got nowhere to go, and he like literally almost drove up the rear end of my little Dodge Neon, and I got my two kids in the car. You know, there was just no, I'm sorry he was late for his anger management class, but he just, oh. And so he finally pulled around me onto the shoulder, and I opened my car window, and I flipped him off because he deserved it, man. Anyway, I was proud of myself. I've mumbled and I've cursed and you know, but I actually did flip someone off.
Yeah. And you felt much better afterwards, right?
No, because my kids were in the car and they weren't happy with me at
all. Fine example.
And they rolled down the windows and started doing the same thing.
Mommy, what? Why did you do? Oh, it. Well, it.
You're gonna get a call from school any day now.
Yeah, really. Oh, you know what? My kids are freaking. They're pilgrims compared to me. I can't say the C word. The C word is crud. Okay. Crud is a bad word. I'm not allowed to. First, my daughter said, "Mommy, that's the C word." I'm like, "What do you mean a C word? I've never." Mommy, you said crud. sorry, you know.
Get us. Point them to the dictionary. There.
Yeah. Well, no. You know what? If they want to be innocent, I'm not going to stop them. That's just fine with me. But speaking of that, my daughter's sick too, so I got to go get her out of the bathtub and get her dried off and tucked in the bed.
Before she turns blue.
Yeah, really? Oh, no. Yeah,
swimming season isn't for a while.
But no, we got illness. And if Patrick, you say she's got the, you know what, I will come down there and beat you. So that's not funny. All right, guys. Are you back? Okay. Mr. Dan is back, looking a little peaked, but I'm going to let him have the mic again.
Good talking, Aaron.
You guys, it was good talking.
Yeah, good talking with you.
Try not to flip more people off when you kick them car.
Good night, guys. Thank
or
you.
Just distract them when you do it.
Well, then where's the fun? That's no fun. If you're going to flip some of the birds, you want to
distract
the
kids and then flip off the people.
Oh, well, see, usually when you're flipping people off, you don't put that much planning into it.
I don't know. I do.
Oh, you do. You have elaborate plans for.
I have elaborate. Well, I'm in the car for 2 hours a day, so I have elaborate plans about doing a lot of things to people.
Is that what you do?
Yeah. Don't ever give it. Don't ever give me weapons.
I'll
man.
Try to avoid you on the highway.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
There's a reason there's no weapons in this house.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I miss you guys. I hope we get to see you soon. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Dan's going to pass out from...
Tell him to chug down the NyQuil and get back on the mic.
A shot of whiskey usually does good. Unless it's a stomach thing. If it's a stomach thing, forget it, man. All you want to do is you know, sit on the toilet.
Jamaican rum tea with lemon works very well.
Shot of bourbon usually does it a trick. If you feel like a throat thing coming on.
Oh, yeah. If you feel a throw up coming on, did you say? Yeah, the bourbon will go real good.
Nice and smooth.
Tastes just as good coming back at you as it gets stuck in your nose.
I tell you, man, this time of year, man, you know, the heat is cranked, man. The house is just so dry, man.
The air
kills your sinuses.
Well, you know, like I said, because the heat wasn't on earlier, this room is usually much warmer. On it, the downstairs is you know, we keep the heat at like 64, so the downstairs is like 60. It's like 80 up here. Like in the morning in the bedroom where I had the door closed all night long, man, it is fucking hot. But it's good at 4:30 in the morning when it kicks out.
You're drooling on yourself. Oh.
Well, that happens no matter what, I think. But you wake up and you've got that like. Cakey stuff running down your chin.
The other thing that's really bad at this time of year is static discharge, man. You touch everything, man. You know,
pet one of the cats.
You know, like how they warn you about when you open up your computer case, you should get one of those wrist guards. Nobody ever uses those things. I have never used them.
I did for a while, and then I said, "What the hell?" You know, just touch the metal first. Keep something on the metal and you can do what you want.
Does anyone know of anybody who's actually fried their motherboard from a static discharge? That's what I want to know. Has that ever happened?
I'm sure it has, but I've never done it. Even with all the older stuff that I've opened up, I've never had a problem.
Usually if you just touch a metal case, that'll dissipate the static discharge. That's usually right?
Grounded? Usually enough. Now, I know you can blow up stuff because, you know, working in electronics, I see people... You know, our benches and stuff, I mean, they pretty much strap you to them on it, you know, to make sure there's no static on the chips and stuff. I think it's more when you're handling individual chips, you'll have the problem. I think once they're in the boards and stuff, it's usually not that big of an issue at that point anymore.
Speaking of embedded stuff, I wanted to talk to Link about this because one of the guys from our log, Mark, they're going to do an embedded Linux class. That looks really cool, man. Did you see that, email?
Yeah, I'm debating on whether to
sign up for that. I'm debating it too. What is he charging? $50 for the kit?
Yeah, I have to dig up the email. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, one of the guys from my work, Mark, he...
Well, it's basically just, he's not charging anything.
He's not charging. It's
just whatever the kit costs.
Right. But Marcus is an electronics guy. He used to be in the Navy, and he's really good at electronics, man. He knows his stuff with, like, you know, doing wiring and electronics and all that stuff. So he's going to be, you know, teaching the class, and it sounds like it's really interesting. They have this kit where, you know, you buy all the devices, and you go through different, you know, projects along the way, you know, setting up and reading the circuits and doing... It sounds like it's a real learning how to program an embedded Linux device.
It's full programming. I'm not sure that's a Linux device or if that's just a...
I think it's Linux.
Let me see.
What is he doing the programming in C, right? It would be C, right? Or it was an assembler.
It's Arduino, I think, is what the
board... What is that, a kit? Board.
It's a kit board,
That's the kit, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like it's very interesting, man. If you get the link, man, put it up on the IRC. Everyone can check it out. It sounds like they other people have used this for different classes, and it's an embedded chip, and you can go in, you can program it to do different things, and you learn the ins and outs of embedded programming. It sounds really cool.
Yeah, I just put the link up there.
How many classes did he say it was going to be? 5, 6, something like that, 8?
I don't know.
What was he looking to do, monthly or biweekly?
I guess. Yeah, he doesn't really say yet because he doesn't know how many people are actually going to show. So I guess you got to find out how many people are going to show before you actually can figure out how much it's going
to
be.
That sounds like a really cool thing. I wish I had time to do that, man, because that's something I would love to do.
And let me put the course up there too.
Yeah, there's like a whole syllabus.
This is an intro to microprocessing.
That's cool stuff, man. Very cool.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing it because I've got a over in the pile of crap over on the side of the desk. I've got one of those little two-line displays. I had to have it last year at one of the ham fests I went to.
Oh, yeah.
I had to buy this thing, and then I got home and I was like, "Wait, now what the fuck am I going to do with it?" But I've always wanted one, so I bought it. So I was thinking maybe taking the course so I could figure out how to actually program stuff into it.
That's good stuff, man.
Maybe program it to, like, you know, have the temperature or something like that.
One of the other things I would love to learn how to program is Nokias, man. That is like the future, man, those small handheld devices.
There is a, for people out there who are using VM on it, there is a, well, they call them appliances, but there's actually an image out there with all of the programming stuff for setting up the Nokias out there, it's on the VMware site, and I don't have it handy right now. I haven't tried it yet.
What's the website that has all the Nokia third party applications? Was it Maemo.org?
Maemo.org. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's pretty cool, man. I really got to get one of those, man.
Link's selling his.
But those new ones are nice.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm looking at a new one, but I really need a helmet first.
What was he looking to sell the 770 for, you say?
That was on the email he sent out today. I think it was like 250 or 275 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
250, I think, is what it was.
I hear the new ones are much faster.
Yeah, but, you know, the 770, for most everything you're going to use it for on it, is plenty fast. The only application I see that it bogs down, and even it doesn't really bog down. It just takes a while reading off the card on it. Is the my mind just went blank there. It is the Canola app.
What is that?
Which Canola app is a really neat application for media. On it, pretty much combines all of the players into one really nice
one interface.
It's one interface. It's all touchscreen.
That's nice.
You just basically, you know, touch what you want to do. It's a really nice application. And the only time that even bogs down, at least as far as I've seen, the only time it really bogs down is if you change the memory card and you... hit the right button there. If you change the memory card on it, and then it has to rescan all your stuff on it. But other than that, it works fine.
Now, the 800s, what's the limit that of extra flash cards you can throw in there? What is it, 8 gig, 4 gig?
Well, I think their recommendation is 2 gigs.
2?
I heard that it actually will take 4 without any problem.
2 4 is for 8, right? That's what I heard, too.
Now, the 770s will take 2 gigs with the patch from them on it, but I don't have the patch, so I only have a gig of the memory card in it. The advantage with the 800 is you can use the SD card. You can use a normal card.
Uh-huh.
The one the 770 uses is basically the reduced sized MMC card, and it basically is, you can't find it anywhere. So you got to go to, I got mine off of Amazon. They're not expensive, but
they're just hard to find.
Really hard to find. Yeah.
Flash is pretty common. You can get that anywhere, any of those stores.
Yeah, the SD stuff, you can get that anywhere. That's the big advantage that I see with it.
But that's pretty cool, too. Now,
and, of course, give it 6 months, and everything that you see in the 770 garage over on MAMA, will, 6 months from now, will be ported over to the 800
without any problem. Those apps that are on there, are those C applications, or are they Python? What are they?
Don't know exactly what they're programmed in.
I wonder if they have a Java machine for that thing. They probably do.
You'd have to look on that MAMO site.
It's good stuff, man. That's really that
on
really,
the application site.
You learn how to program on those things, man. That really is the future, man. That's where this stuff is going, I think.
Yeah. Well, the Canola app is actually a Nokia application. It's an unofficial Nokia release. I think the Nokia Brazil, I think, the division down there is where it actually is coming from. And I haven't seen any updates on it. It would be nice if it updated, because right now it doesn't play OGS through it. From what I was reading on it, I haven't been over to the site in a while, so I don't know what the updates are on it. It has the ability to play OGS on it. It's just right now they wanted to get a release out that used everything that was initially embedded in the device on it. So it would be like the next release when they get all the bugs worked out on it, and then you won't have any problems, I guess, supporting OGS and stuff on it. So
you would hope that it supports OGS, because it's open source software.
The 770 does support OGS, not out of the box, but
right.
There is an OGS player.
Add-on, right.
Yeah, there is an OGS player that you can get off the MAMO site on it. So, it works on it. I've had a couple problems with the OGS one every once in a while where it gets stuck trying to look for files and stuff, and the interface could be a little bit more cleaned up on it. But past that, I mean, it works fine.
JZA says they got Python running on the N800s, which
that's cool.
Yeah. So that's good that you can do Python.
Well, yeah, you're going to be able to do a little bit more with that one because, like I said,
it's a faster processor.
It's a little more powerful. But the 770, if you just want something to play around with right now, I mean, because people are going to be selling them now because they want the 800s on it.
So you can get them cheaper.
Yeah, you can. It's a difference of $50. So, if you haven't got $50, you buy the 770. If you've got the extra $50, you buy the 800.
I'm pretty sure that I read somewhere that they're still going to support the 770. They are going to update the OS for it and some of the applications.
Yeah, there's a 2007 OS, but that's right now doesn't run on the 770s. That's only for the 800s. But I think Link was saying on his 770, he did do the update for the latest version of the 2006 software. I haven't done that one yet.
Well, one of the things that really jumped out, I was looking over some of the N800 stuff, is that they have an add-on GPS unit. That looks pretty cool.
You can actually get that for the 770 as well on it, because all you need is there's an application out there that already does the mapping for it.
Uh-huh. You need a portable GPS unit, right?
G-Drive? I don't want to call it G-Drive, and that's not the right. What do they have?
A dongle, a GPS dongle.
All you need is a GPS unit that exports in Bluetooth.
Sell them, don't they? Bluetooth dongles.
Yeah, they're little ones. They're got small ones that are like you can put anywhere.
Yeah,
because
they're pretty cheap, right?
As long as you can hear, as long as you're within Bluetooth range, it doesn't have to be anywhere near the Nokia.
Right, you just tether it.
Yeah. So yeah, they've got those things out there, and I don't know if that they're working on the 800, but I have seen them working on or seen people have talked about them working on the 770.
It's cool stuff, man. I really gotta get one of those things, man.
They're fun. I have this one, like I said, I've got that conversion script that runs over on the MythBox. I load it up in the morning and take it to work.
That's cool. How much video can you get on there?
The script is actually pretty good. I can get a couple hours worth of video on there.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. The script will take a DVD and actually bring it down to about 500 megs, which, you know, if you were watching it, if you were trying to expand the screen again, it would be very pixelated, but on, you know, when you only got a 4-inch screen to begin with.
So what do you encode the video as, XVID?
I think it is. It's an AVI file.
Yeah, it's XVID.
Yeah. It's a nice little Perl script that just, you know, whatever you, if MPlayer can play it, it'll convert it for you.
Coolness. Excellent. Now, is that just a standalone script that you have?
It's a standalone one.
Well, there's a MythTV plugin for it.
No, there's not a MythTV plugin. What I did was I wrote a little wrapper for it that feeds it the
file name and stuff.
The file name and the program name on it. So it feeds it the directory and the program name on it, and then it's set up to automatically whenever I record something on it. It runs that as one of the external jobs after it's done,
so that you got the file ready to go. All you got to do is drag it and drop it.
And it doesn't take very long, you know. Even the longer shows, you know, it doesn't take, very long to convert it.
So pretty quick.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you can actually get to my. You can actually see them. I've got them on. I've actually put my directory out there so I can actually see them from work as well. And lately I've just been playing them at work. I don't even bother to download them onto the Nokia.
Have you been streaming some of that video?
Well, yeah, actually, RCM does, you know, will, the smaller ones I can stream without any problem on it. I haven't had much luck with the full-size video, even getting it off of MythWeb on it. It still hasn't worked very well for me because it wants to download the whole damn thing before it plays it.
Right.
Which, I mean, you're trying to get, an hour show is, you know, over, you know, close to 2 gigs.
Yeah.
It's like 2 gigs going up on a 700K line. It's, yeah, I can start at 8 o'clock so I can watch it at noon. So that one doesn't quite work for me yet. Although I can stream it using VLC. I can stream the Nokia ones into work without any problem. And it works really well. I'm surprised that the bandwidth is enough for it.
Coolness, man. That's great stuff, man. Just being able to do stuff like this so automatic, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, eventually I have to get like a normal web address for the house here. Because, you know, I've just got the IP address, and because it never changes from RCN, so I... Now they're going to change it because somebody will listen to, fuck him, change it.
That
what did I miss?
You missed it, man. We just had
my
a really
God,
long conversation.
The women just came in, you know?
Well, we talked to Erin about her iAudio, and the conversation really diverged into a whole bunch of other things. And then me and Alan here were talking.
Right down to hell, man.
We were talking about the Nokia N800. So, we also were talking about the programming class that Mark's going to be doing. Is that going to be Linux, or is that just...
Yeah, it's Linux all the way, man.
Coolness.
Start to finish, I guess the all the software, you know, to do the programming for it is Linux, and you actually run embedded Linux, you know, on the compiler and in the actual hardware.
That's cool stuff, man. I'm really tempted to go do that class with you guys.
It's not bad, you know, for $50 to get the startup kit. It sounds like it'd be pretty fun, you know?
What I was saying before is you got to dig out the little LCD display that we got last year.
Yeah, I still have that, too. I haven't done a damn thing with it.
I know, mine's still in the bag. I was just saying, now, I got to take this course now so we can program something for it.
Right. Make it useful.
Yeah.
Now, how long is that class? You guys looking to do that class? Like once a month, once every couple of weeks? What are you guys looking for?
I think he's going to do it, you know, well, I don't know. You know, honestly, I thought he was going to do it for 2 or 3 days in a row, 1 month, and then, you know, maybe a couple days the next month or something, but I don't know. Just speculation on my part. I know that the classes were pretty long because, of, you know, the amount of stuff that he wants to go over.
You do like labs, right? There's like different assignments.
Right. That's exactly right. Everybody brings their, you know, their little kit. I don't even remember what the name of it. Error Dino, D or Dino, something like that. Anyway, everybody brings their little kit, and we go over how to you know, what software we use and how to get into that and, you know, interfacing everything together. And so it takes a bit of time for class.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you do anything really useful with these things, like in a real-world situation?
Well, sure. It's this particular board set that he's got going on has, like, this is the basic board set, but off of this thing you can hang, like, a relay board that has, like, 8 or 10 different relays or something like that, and you can, you know, you can control whatever the hell it is you want to control with it, I guess. There are other boards, too. There's, like, Ethernet packages and, you know, all kinds of nifty crap like that.
It's interesting stuff, man.
Yeah.
And then we were also talking about the new Nokia, all the cool things you could do with that thing.
Oh, that thing is beautiful. A lot of people are, like, really weirded out by a couple of things, especially the fact that it's got stereo speakers on it. I've seen people leave negative comments about that a couple of times, like, what do you need, a little internet tablet with stereo speakers? They really sound good, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I read, yeah, there was one today that some guy was saying that today about, yep, why do you need to have stereo speakers on it? Like, because you, yep, can fit the damn things, why not?
Yeah, and they really do sound pretty good. It's not bad. Of course, the sound is phenomenal with like headphones or something like that. It really sounds great. But the little stereo speaker, it's pretty good, and it pumps out a bit more volume with the stereo speakers than it does with the single speaker on a Nokia.
Okay.
So it's that much easier to listen to, you know, your movies that you're watching or your you know, audio files that you're listening to. And I just found out today from Gorkom that there's a built-in FM tuner.
Really?
Inside this thing. I had no idea. So I went out and grabbed the software, and I had to upgrade one library to get this software to work. Once you install the thing, it's one of the widgets on your screen. You can select it, and, you know, you plug your headphone, your ear pod thingies in to the jack, and that's your antenna. That's what he uses for the antenna.
Yeah.
And I'll be damned if the damn thing doesn't work, and it works really, really well. It's slick, man. You can save, like, you can save your station presets and the whole bit. It's wild.
Cool. I'll check that out.
I was saying, one of the things that really jumped out at me was that GPS add-on package that they have. Like, for instance, my
dad... Yeah, I'd love to do that. I just got no money, you know?
My father, for Christmas, he got a GPS unit that plays some video and plays, like, music files, MP3 files. The thing was like $400, man.
Yeah. I mean,
if you can get a Nokia for that price and, you know, a little more, get a GPS unit, that in itself makes it worth it, I would think.
Right, get a little cheapo GPS unit?
Yeah, one of those Bluetooth dongles.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. I would love to be able to do that. Maybe that'll be on my project list someday, you know. For right now, there's just too much other crap going on.
Yeah,
but you know what else, right? I did with it? What's that?
Take your pick, right?
Right. You know, what else I did with the Nokia yesterday was I finally tried the Google Talk application, and while that worked, it keeps, I don't know if it's me, I don't think it's me because I'm not moving around, or it's the people I'm talking to, it keeps dropping connection, which
yeah,
is kind of a shitty
earlier,
thing.
Yeah.
However, the, what was the other one?
Gizmo. Or Gizmo.
Gizmo, yeah. Yes. I also signed up for Gizmo, again on Gorkon's recommendation, and that works really, really well.
Yeah, I finally got it up and running over here.
Yeah, I was totally impressed with that. The, you know, it impresses me more and more than the Nokia 770 and the N800s, because, like, you know, this is a regular internet phone application. And you have really good voice quality out of it, you know, and you're using like little PZO speakers and a built-in microphone on this thing, and it's really snazzy, you know. I'm totally impressed the way it works. Yeah, built-in answering machine. You can call out to landline numbers and all kinds of other crap, you know. It's really
you guys were doing Google Talk before, right?
Yeah, we were trying that.
trying to Google Talk, and I get that the word for a couple seconds, and it drops. And I don't know if that's something with somebody's bandwidth, mine or someone else's, or whether it's there's some kind of finicky issue between the two versions of 770 Google Talk and the one that runs on the N800 or what, but it keeps dropping out. I'll have to do some more testing, some other time and see what happens, I guess.
It's good stuff, man. I definitely got to get one of those things, man.
Oh, they're awesome.
I would love to program on that thing, man. And JCA was saying that they have Python ported over, so you can code in Python if you want to.
Yeah, they do, yep.
Because natively, what is it? C?
Pardon?
What are the native apps coded in? C?
As far as I know, they're Python and GTK, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe, I mean,
That's cool.
They're really awesome. They're nice little, the more I have it, the more I'm finding that it's a convenient little apparatus to have with you. You know what I mean? Like, even for dumb things like a Wi-Fi finder. It's the best damn wireless finder I have ever touched.
Yeah,
this thing picks up
button.
Yeah, it picks up wireless signals that I never knew were anywhere around my house or work for that matter. Stuff that my laptop won't even touch. I don't know how they're doing that. Boy, I wish they would. I wish they would send the designs for whatever wireless they're using over to someone who can install it in a laptop. You know.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
But, stuff like that, taking notes real fast if you have notes. The thing that I use it for a lot is where I work, I wrote a lot of PHP applications. And it's good for me to walk out on the floor out of my office and still be able to access those applications on the fly while I'm doing other work.
Yeah.
That's really, really nice. And, you can do, I'm sure, a variety of other things that way, too. You can run VNC on it for all that.
Well, we're looking to talk with the head of the embedded division over in Nokia soon. We're trying to set up an interview.
Next week?
I don't know when we're going to play if we're going to do the interview or when we're going to play it, but it's something we're looking into because I think that would be a terrific interview. Now, you guys are Nokia users, and this really is an area I'm very interested in, and I think we could really have a really fantastic interview with him. So.
Oh, man, you got to pick one up.
Yeah, I really do. Really do.
A really nifty little thing to have. I just, my one wish is that they actually had something with a hard case for the N800. It's the one major drawback. It doesn't have the hard case that the 770 has. And, since they're touchscreen sensitive, every time you touch the screen, it wakes back up again. Well, if you have it in your pocket, you bump your pocket, it wakes back up. That kind of thing.
I saw one of the demos sort of from the CES coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had a demo of it. It looked really cool, man, the touchscreen, moving the screen. I like that the new features with, being able to zoom in automatically. The button to get full screen resolution while watching the video, that looks really nice.
It's really beautiful, man, I'm telling you. And then, watching videos on it is, you wouldn't think that it would be as easy on your eyes as it is, because it's a 4-inch screen, right? But it's
really
such
easy.
A high resolution screen, the it's got really nice brightness with it and stuff like that, and it's an 800 by, 480. On the screen. It's a nice high-resolution screen, so you get a really good picture. And it really, it looks nice. The stuff is a pleasure to watch on there. Using that little Perl script to convert the videos.
Yeah, that's nice.
Works really nice, Really? There's no problems doing that. When you convert those videos down there, they're really small. Like, you take an entire two-hour movie and get it down to a couple hundred megs. That's just awesome.
Well, let me ask you, how's the support for third-party keyboards? I know you guys were talking about, I think Alan was talking about it way back when, about hooking up.
Well, the 770, there's some hacks that you can do on the 770 for you to be able to use USB keyboards with it. And then you can also add a driver in so that you can use Bluetooth keyboards. Now, with the NE100, I believe you're supposed to be able to use any Bluetooth keyboard natively.
Yeah, that driver's built in for that one.
Yeah, it's just supposed to quote-unquote work. Now, I do not have a Bluetooth keyboard to try with that, so if anybody would like to send me one, you go right ahead, man. I would love to try that out. That's one of the things that's high on my list to do. Unfortunately, Bluetooth keyboards are wickedly expensive. So, I mean, I'm even considering, I think Apple sells a regular size Bluetooth keyboard. And I'm even considering stopping by and picking one of them up.
Hey, Link,
60 or 70 bucks.
Robbity Art and IRC wants to know how the battery life on the N800 is compared to the N770.
I have not run the battery out yet on the N800. I mean, I charge it periodically, every couple of days, 2-3 days. If I'm using it hard, like I've used it hard all day at work before, just doing internet apps and stuff, not playing videos, but doing browsing and things like that, using it all day at work, and I've gotten the battery down to like maybe 50%, and then I charged it up afterwards. I've never completely run it all the way out. I noticed that you can probably watch, it's probably comparable to the 770, you can probably get away with watching a couple of movies, you know, full-length movies, maybe 3 or maybe 4 television series kind of shows or something, as far as videos go, without having to recharge the thing. But
yeah, I know
like,
on the 7070, it only really eats up batteries when the wireless is on.
Yeah, that's,
like if you're
that's
doing
very true.
Yeah, when I was streaming from the Myth box over to it, on it, then you eat up batteries on it. But other than that, I mean, I charge it like once a week.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's, like I said, it's comparable to the 770. You can, in a standby mode, I'm sure you could let it go a week or almost, you know?
Standby most of the week here, so.
Yeah. Even on my really crappy battery that I had when I first got my used 770, that would go 3 or 4 days without me having to recharge it if I wasn't using it hard. And, you know, this is some newer technology, nice brand new batteries in it and stuff like that. So they work right along for quite a while.
Cool.
And, you know, you can also buy, like, car chargers and stuff like that for them. And same thing for, you know, a bunch of different generic Nokia phones will work to charge this, so.
It's good stuff, man. Real good stuff. Is there a good book out there about the Nokias, how to program them? Nothing, right?
I don't know of any books. So, like I said, the only one I know is that VMware program that you can, appliance that you can put on there that has all the programming environments for the Nokias already installed, so you can develop your applications on there, try it out before you actually bundle it up and ship it over to your Nokia.
Now that would be a good book to write.
Well,
there you go.
Programming Nokia embedded devices.
There you go. And for any other information, hit mamo.org, and there's some forums there and stuff. I'm sure there are plenty of people there who would be interested in helping out.
It seems like the community's really jumped on this thing and really gotten behind it. Seems to be building.
But you know what?
Right?
This is one of those things where, like, you finally have a real well-known and recognized hardware vendor that's doing something good to support Linux. And the product that they put out is not only accessible, right? Because usually you get people who say, oh, I support Linux with this and that, only you can't ever get the product. You know, or they make it ridiculously expensive.
You're
like,
not in Taiwan, that's why.
Yeah, they make it ridiculously expensive like that. What are those, what were those, pepper pads? $800 for one of them things? Come on, you know?
Yeah, like a laptop.
So, you know, in this case, you have a product that's actually available, and you have a well-recognized hardware manufacturer, and it works. You know, so yeah, people are jumping right on it. it's a neat thing. I know he is to be really commended for not only for, you know, pushing the 770 out, but also for releasing the NA-100, you know, do a little upgrade and stick another one out and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm checking out that website that JCA put up, the MAMO.org, getting started with multimedia, and mm-hmm. the development kit. I'm going to check this out. It's really good stuff, man.
It's a beautiful thing.
Looks like a lot of G-Streamer. Coolness.
All right, guys, I finally made it back home. I'm going to jump off of my cell phone here and try and get back on the other phone. Catch you in a minute.
Talk to you.
We'll be here.
So, Alan, are you still playing with TiVo at all?
It's downstairs running, but it's not actually doing anything.
You're not using it? Does your wife use it?
I don't know if she's using it or not. I know what I found an Ethernet card to go in it, because the only problem with it right now is it's a Series 1. The only problem with it is the modem died on it.
Well,
it never phones home anymore.
You want to hack it to put an Ethernet card in there?
Yeah, well, it's not a hack. I mean, it's already got the drivers built in for it on it. That was part of it, or at least that's what they say. The drivers are already built in for it on it. And all you do is you change the dialing code to, I don't know, I think it's 3 asterisks or something like that. And then it, instead of trying to use the modem, it goes out and uses the Ethernet card on it. The only hack is you've got to cut a little hole in the back to get the cord out the back of it. So that's what it's eventually going to do, because I hate to get rid of it because I have lifetime service with it. I paid for that. So, you know, the upgrades and stuff are all free for it as long as they keep doing it. But it's just, it hasn't been high on my list of priorities. The Ethernet card is only like $70 for it.
It uses
an oddball connector on the side of it.
They're still coming out with new versions of it, right?
Well, there's a TiVo 3, which I think is like $800.
Is that the high def one?
Yeah. The TiVo 2s, I think you can get them for $99 with a rebate, you know, making them almost free. But they charge you now, I think it's 13 or... I think it's $13 a month now. And they're not doing the lifetime thing anymore, so. Which, I don't know, I think their business model should have been, we'll charge you, you know, $12 a month for like 2 years.
And by then
you'll have, yeah, by then, yeah, you paid enough, it'll be free, and by then you'll want the new version of it anyways.
The TV's still cool though.
Oh, yeah, the myth is cool and all. The TiVos, I mean, like I said, for the device that it is, is perfect on it. I still think that's one thing that the MythBox doesn't have completely down pat is the interface that the TiVo had. I don't know if it's just because I got very used to the TiVo interface on it, but it's the same but not the same. And that doesn't make any sense, but if you use both of them for a while, it does.
The same but different.
It's the same but different, yes. Not quite there. I mean, you know, because the TiVo device was one of these things that, you know, you didn't think about. It was just like bleep, 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 you know, with the thumb there, and it all worked. The MythBox, it's easy, but you have to sometimes think a little bit more. I don't know why. So one of these days I'll get the new version of it.
I'm downloading the SDK for the off the MAMO site. There we go.
Well, let me find that the VM thing there.
You use a virtual machine or code your programs and run them.
Oh, excuse me. For some reason, dinner's coming back again.
It's a lot better going down than coming back up.
Yeah, it wasn't bad either way, but it's... your browser does not support Java. Yes, it does. I just have to turn it off.
Hey.
All right.
Did Link come back?
Yeah, Link's back.
Oh, that's good.
He's back.
You sound like shit, Dan.
I feel like shit.
You probably smell like it, too.
Well, that's on a good day, right?
I hope I don't taste like it.
Oh, jeez.
We don't want to know.
Yeah, we don't want to know. That.
If I can feel like it, I don't know. You know what? I never finished the saga of the GP2X, did I?
Which saga is that?
When the headphone jack broke off inside.
You resoldered it.
Oh,
you?
No. I know what happened because I was on with you while you were working on it, but the listeners probably have no idea.
Yeah, well, as I stated before, the quality of the solder of the headphone jack on the GP2X models has been notoriously poor, and one of the problems that it has caused for me in the past was that if the headphone jack got jostled a little too much, it had a tendency to freeze the machine for some odd reason. Well, since it broke off that night, I went to Walmart and spent about 30 minutes walking around trying to find the solder. And the guy that was in the department back there, I asked him, and he was like,
What solder?
Huh?
What solder?
The flux.
That what they got? No, I mean,
oh, yeah.
That was
oh,
the guy
yeah,
was asking
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah, he was like, I wish I could help you, but tonight's my first night. So I wandered around for a while, and you think it would be where the other tools are, but it's not. And it was over. I looked over by the electrical stuff, and it wasn't there either. It happened to be wedged between the automotive and some miscellaneous tools. There was another electrical area, and it was where the solder was supposed to be was wedged right in there. Unfortunately, they were all out. And I was about to throw my hands up. No, that's right. I'm sorry. They had one left, and I took it. And then the guy came up to me, who I asked for help. He said, hey, I found it, but we're all out. And I said, that's okay, because it's over here, too. So I lucked out. I came back. And what I had done was I had read on the forums that they recommend you crazy gluing the jack back to the circuit board to keep it in one place. And I did that. I followed those directions, and I did that. I crazy glued it on there. And all I had to do was fire up my solder gun and just solder those four joints back together there. Not joints. What are they called?
Solder joints.
Yeah, solder joints back on there. And it took all of about...
That's the technical term, yes.
Yeah. 5 minutes, if that. Once I got that taken care of, screwed it back together, and it's never worked better. I mean, that jack in there is now solid. It doesn't jostle. It doesn't freeze up or anything. It works.
Attack.
It runs perfectly. Yes. So the GP2X is back in command.
Coolness.
Because
your wife sounds like she likes the audio.
Yeah, because I played around with my wife's audio, and I looked at this and I said, if my GP2X is going to really, if this is going to be the end of it, what am I going to get to replace it? Would I get another GP2X? I looked at like a lot of those Flash Media players, and while I like my wife's, it's really nice. I have a problem with I like a bigger screen. I like the screen of the GP2X that I could like easily scroll through there, see what I'm looking for, find it really fast. Another interface that was really good was the iPod interface. Was really good for being able to find things. And when you got to like a show, like anything that's more than 10 minutes long, having to fast forward through there can be a pain in the butt. Like if you listen to one of our shows and you have to shut it off and it doesn't retain its place, because the GPX, unfortunately, GP2X doesn't do that, I have to fast forward through the entire show into where I left off. So if I have to do an hour and a half into a show, if the fast forward isn't really fast, like the iRiver that we had, really wasn't as fast as I'd like it to be. You can increase the speed, but it wasn't as fast as like the iPod. You just roll your thumb around that wheel there, and it scrolls through the song really fast. Or the file really
sounds
fast.
Like you need an N800 to me, Dan.
Well, Yeah, I thought about that too. I wanted something that wasn't expensive. The only other thing I don't like about the GP2X is where I need, and this would go hand in hand with the N800 I can see too, is taking it to the gym. It's really bulky. It's hard to put it somewhere where it's not going to fall off on some of the machines that I use. And you can't, like, stick it in your pocket.
Because you need a shuffle.
Yeah, I know. I don't want an iPod shuffle. And that's where something like my wife has comes in really handy. Because, I mean, you could just, like, I don't know, stick it anywhere. Or she bought one of those little holders there that you just strap it to your wrist. And it's got a little case on it. And you just put it in there with the headphone out. Well, I don't know. How you liking that N800? No, you don't have the N800.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah?
I do, yeah. It's beautiful.
You find you're using it a lot?
Beautiful thing. Actually, I do use it quite a bit. Use it quite a bit while I'm working. Use it at home, you know, if I'm lazy and I want to hang out in the bedroom or something like that and check out my Gmail or browse the web real quick for something, you know. It's real convenient.
Have you tried out any other software on it besides the browser? I mean, have you pulled any programs down?
Oh, plenty of stuff. There's a media streamer that works really good. Found out tonight there's an FM radio built in there that works well. There's some internet phone applications that I've used. It's really cool. I mean, it really is. You know, I'm playing videos and stuff on it. Of course, that's one of the favorite things to do.
Download it.
You have to show the overlink. Fire up a gizmo there. I want to see if it works over here.
Fire up gizmo, he says. I can do that.
Well, after the show is over. Not right now.
Uh-huh. Well, of course.
Yeah. Curiosity.
And everybody else, you know, everybody else can call me through Gizmo, too. If you have Gizmo, I'm on there as TLLTS Link. It's LINC.
And I am Metzler A. Because I'm really original with my names.
For those of you without that last name, that's Metzler.
The letter A.
I've only used Gizmo a few times in the past. How do you guys like that?
I haven't touched it.
I've got it installed. I haven't used it yet.
Yeah, I used it yesterday. And it seemed pretty cool, so.
Actually, I shouldn't say that. When I first installed it, because you get like a free 20 minutes or 10 minutes worth of phone calls, regular phone calls with it, and I did make a phone call on it, and nobody complained, so.
Huh.
So, I mean, it looks neat. But I don't know.
Pull that down on my laptop. I haven't tried it out yet. I haven't tried it out in a while.
Because the tech show has a...
No, I know. I mean, I haven't tried it on my laptop. And it doesn't seem to be in the Ubuntu repositories. Deb install package. That's what I need.
I'll tell you what. The Gizmo project stuff is pretty cool. What I found really cool was, like, last night after I registered on there, I made a call to a landline. It was free, you know?
Yeah, you get, like, I got, like, 22 cents of credit on here.
No, right now it's just free, I think.
Oh, that's cool.
I was digging it. That was pretty cool.
Is it better than Skype?
On my little handheld, it seems to work really good. I mean, I don't have Skype on it on the handheld to compare it with. But.
You know what? I got a question, and maybe some people in our chat can help me out with this. I don't know what the heck happened, but at work I use KDE, and oh crap! I just downloaded it, and now it asked me if I want to install it with the. That's pretty sweet. Anyway, Okay. At work, I use KDE. I don't use KDE anywhere else. My wife uses it. And I like to auto-hide the panel at the bottom. And about a week and a half ago, for some reason, the way I usually use this is you go drag your mouse down to the bottom and the panel automatically pops up when it's auto-hid, right? You know what I'm talking about? Do you guys use that?
Sure.
For some reason, it doesn't pop up anymore.
You broke it.
I don't know how I did, how that happened. It just stopped working. So I've
you broke it.
Yeah, I've gone in under the preferences, and it is checked to auto hide, and it also
the internet.
And the only thing I can get it to do is I had to set like a hot area on it then, and say, well, if I drag the mouse down to the lower right hand corner, to pop it up, which I shouldn't have to do that because I never had to do that before. So I don't know why that stopped working. And I can't seem to get it back the way I wanted to. And it makes me cry.
Well, we don't want to do that.
That annoys me. And now I got to figure out what... Gorkon asks, is it there? Yeah, the panel is there. You can actually see it, kind of. You know how you can like usually see it down at the bottom. It, when I just hover over it, it won't come back up. I have it set now for the lower right-hand corner, and also when I switch desktops, it automatically comes up. So it's kind of annoying, but I'm getting by with it. I don't understand why it broke. But that's the way the cookie crumbles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, buddy.
What was it? That's the thing I hate about these. All these different things. Oh, I actually remembered the username and password. Ah, it's Gizmo. Who's in our...
Alan?
Yes?
That you?
What, making noise now?
No, Gizmo.
Oh, it was Dan making noise.
Oh, yeah, it was Dan.
No, it was me bringing up Gizmo. I'll have to try this out sometime. This is Michael Robertson's project, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I don't have any contacts. What's your name, Link? TLLTS Link?
TLLTS Link, yep.
You could do TLLTS Dan. TLLTS Alan.
TLLTS.
Yeah, I should probably just change that to that. Wouldn't be easier for people
Alan
to understand.
Alan had to be unique, so, you know.
Well, no, it was. I put it as something that I could remember. But I guess I'll make a new account with TLLTS Alan there and make it so normal people can remember my name.
Once you set up an account, you can't change the name on it, can you?
No, but you can set up a new account.
Yeah.
At least I guess you could. I don't know. I haven't really tried it.
What's your name, Alan?
Metzler A. M-E-T-Z-L-E-R-A.
Let's see if I can find you. See if it comes up.
God damn it, I just hung up. TLLTS has added me to my contact list.
Where are my contacts? Oh, look. Hey, how come when I look on your account, it comes up with Tim McGraw's picture and it has his name there?
No, it doesn't.
You knew that was going to happen, didn't you?
Yeah, I knew that.
Do you have a Gizmo account, Pat?
No, I don't. Actually, I do. I haven't touched it in a long time.
Oh, look, you can get, like, as your avatar, you can get Wonder Woman there, Dan.
Wonder
or
Woman.
You can't. Well, yeah. There you go.
Wonder Woman was my first love. Linda Carter, baby.
Somebody's ringing.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Tommy, can
I
you
can hear you.
Wow.
It's neat.
How about that, huh? I don't have the microphone set up on this gizmo.
You know what? Laptop. You know what's really interesting about this? I think that the lag is almost less using this than it is using Asterisk.
Almost?
Almost.
Well, the better. They plug millions of dollars into this. It better not have a lag.
I'm telling you, it's just a microsecond up. When you talk to me, it's a microsecond up between what I hear through Asterisk and what I hear through Gizmo.
Huh.
It's neato.
Now, how can you upload your own icon?
I have no idea.
I'll see. Well, maybe you got to...
You know, for those of you who haven't caught on to this yet, I turned my microphone off, and I'm talking through Gizmo on the show right now.
What he does...
Yeah, we can hear the difference there.
He's doing that through my laptop through a wireless connection, too.
Right.
And
wirelessly through Gizmo on my Nokia 800.
And it doesn't sound that bad.
A little choppy.
I think that has a lot to do with the wireless connection, and I'm surprised you're actually hearing me pretty well because I'm using the onboard mic on the laptop. I don't have it plugged into the system.
You sound pretty good. From what I hear back through my headset, I sound pretty good too. So,
not too shabby.
It's amazing. Anyway, I'm going to drop back off and jump back on the mic.
All right, you do that.
Boink.
Oh.
See, now that's just a neat little thing, you know?
And that's your 800.
Yep, that's what I was talking on.
Why will it stop? What is this?
Well, it's 10:30. Play us out.
Alan's kicking me out the door.
That's what it's
playing. No, I'm not kicking you out the door.
All right.
Alan says, get the hell out. Get out.
Thank you guys for taking over the show today. Alan and Pat. And
yeah, Aaron. Alan and Pat, not me. Because I was going to be in a few minutes, right?
Yeah, so as we said before, I think I did my all-time record in talking.
Yeah, seriously, I didn't even have to prod you with a stick or anything.
I can't wait. I'm going to have to go listen to it at work tomorrow. I'm
excited. The Alan Show.
Alan Talks.
2 hours of Alan.
And damn it, you know, if I knew I was going to talk so much, I would have put the other mic on, too.
There you go.
Which one? The one that... records your heartbeat from across
the one that does the heartbeat, yeah. Yeah, I need to buy another one of those. So you can hear my heartbeat in stereo.
There you go. Put one in one corner of the house and one in the other corner of the house and then just stand in the middle, right?
Exactly.
All right.
It will sound marvelous.
So we're playing Dopia Imagine.
You want to do that or the other one?
That's what I have queued up is Dopia Imagine.
All right, the name of this band is called La Maschera di Sera. They're an Italian progressive rock band. The song is in Italian, so if you can't deal with singing in another language, that's too fucking bad.
Symphony rock.
There you go.
Who's our guest next week, Pat?
We're talking to Will Backman from the BSD Talk podcast.
Oh, that guy. I hate that podcast.
Yeah, that guy.
I gotta listen to it every week. It's nice, compact, good quality, good guests, good topic. Still sucks, right? No, it's a great podcast.
Sorry about that.
I look forward to it. I do too. I was listening to it today. Thumbs up. All right.
Will is going to send us pictures of his new office that he has over there that we haven't seen yet.
Who's new office?
You.
Yeah, I know. It's not even fixed up yet.
No excuse. I've seen your office back here in Bethlehem. In fact, I have pictures to prove it. So.
Alright. Well, thank you guys. Thank everybody for listening. Thank Aaron for coming on. And thank goodness that Vista's out and more secure than Apple will ever be, according to...
Now you can sleep at night, Dan. You can sleep at night comfortably.
I know. Because Apple's being cracked every day. But that's the way it goes. All right.
It's amazing.
Here we go. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a good
week. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Call
pazzando. Per andare.
Does your computer crash?
Shit.
Are you aggravated with computer viruses and spyware? Are you looking for an alternative to Microsoft Vista? Whether you're an expert or have only just heard of Linux, here's your chance to learn more at the Southern California Linux Expo. You'll meet users of all skill levels and organizations who will show you what open source software can do for you at home or at work. The Expo has speakers who will discuss various hot topics in open source software, and this year we've even added beginner sessions to especially help those of you who are just starting out. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 10th and 11th, 2007, at the Westin Hotel at Los Angeles International Airport. For more information or to register, please visit www.socallinuxexpo.com. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off your registration. We'll see you there.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.